Well, good afternoon, everybody. Beautiful day out there. Just getting set up here. Bear with me. So the scriptures I'll be using today is the New King James Version. The title of my message this afternoon is Committed to Be About Our Father's Business. Committed to be about our Father's business. Because we are followers of the Son of God. We have been called by our God, our Father, and we are to humbly follow in Christ's footsteps. But in Luke 2, verse 49, when he was at an age of 12 years old, he spoke to his mother and father who had been looking for him, that he was left behind in Jerusalem. And where they found him was with the teachers in the temple area. And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" And we see that throughout God's word of how Christ prepared himself. He was about his Father's business his whole life, up to his end of dying on the cross. And after his resurrection, and he's there at God's right hand today, still about his Father's business on our behalf. And Christ went further in John 9, verse 4. In John 9, verse 4, it says, "I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no man can work." And as we're disciples of Christ, we need to look at these words and hear these words and take them to heart. That we must be about our Father's business as well in our life. Because this is our life. God has called us to. What else is there? God is number one in our life. We must have that spiritual fervency, that desire, that drive. It's needed now more than ever. Can you plainly see in the world around us the ever-encroaching darkness of this world, and Satan? This age of man that confronts God's desire for all humanity, that's fighting against God, doesn't want anything to do with God. We're to be overcoming that. Some people say, "Well, what is my Father's business?" Well, look in a mirror. We're potential children of God. We need to understand how Scripture informs us what to believe and therefore what to do as members within the body of Christ. It's a daily examining of ourselves. To know what spiritual principles guide us as we strive to determine what binds and motivates us toward action as we implore God to guide us, because we cannot do this on our own. It's amazing how we're almost over another calendar year. Another 11 days, we're going to be in 2026. A lot of people say, "Where did the time go?" It's flying by. We've heard from Tim Pebworth. We've heard from John Elliott about upcoming meetings, whether the Council of Elders, whether the administration, the upcoming General Conference of Elders that'll be forthcoming. I personally like to go over the church finances. being a background of an accountant, I can't seem to get away from that. I just like numbers, I tell you. But it's amazing how you can go through the church's financials and see the work, the international, not just in our country, but the international brotherhood that God has called as his family, to see where the monies are being affected and applied. I looked at a report from Robin Weber some 10 years ago, a sermon message, where he was talking about certain things that frame our decision making, as well as the Council of Elders and the administration, basically pointing to what binds us in our common calling before our Heavenly Father 10 years ago. And it's so applicable to today, because God's word is truth. It will not change. It is truth. It is firm. Because we know it's not simply religious concepts of what we believe. It's not a concept, but it is followed with a therefore in Scripture, which motivates us toward action as we implore God's guidance in our life. So when you're reading God's word, there are certain phrases that you pay attention to. The word therefore is one example. So I pulled a couple of things from Robin Weber's message back then I'd like to share with you. And this is talking about principles such as, we believe our Father has called us into a relationship with him and one another through Jesus Christ. We believe the immutable Word of God shows how to build loving relationships and to become more like Jesus Christ. Again, we are to be about our Father's business. In 1 John 1, verse 3, 1 John 1, verse 3, that which we have seen and heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The two main, most important individuals in our life, God the Father and his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because therefore, we will strive to live by every word of God, led by his Holy Spirit in humility, enabling these relationships to grow and flourish. And we must cherish our relationship with our Father and elder brother. We cannot allow that grip to be loosened by this world. We need to hang on tight. Another thing that Mr. Weber brought up was, we believe God the Father, through Jesus Christ, is building his church, which is built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. And we also, as living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. It's like a little rehearsal here of God's word. In Matthew 16, verse 8, where Christ is speaking to Peter. Verse 18. Now I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, meaning Christ is our rock, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. In 1 Peter 2, verse 5, 1 Peter 2, verse 5, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. So here's the therefore. Therefore, as members of the household of God, we grow together into a holy temple for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Take these words to heart, because he's speaking to each and every one of us here. Just put your name there. Another point that Mr. Weber brought up says, we believe God's plan of salvation includes every individual who yields to him and Jesus Christ. You notice the word yielding. His plan includes the calling and perfecting of those who are being converted now, as well as those to be converted in ages to come. So that's why we must be preparing ourselves today and every day that we have breath. In Ephesians 2, verses 19 through 22, says, now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit, as we were just describing earlier. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 4. 2 Timothy 2, verse 4 says, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And if we're staying in God's Word, we are staying in the truth. Studying, living it, inculcating it in our life to grow where God wants us to grow and how God wants us to grow. One more point that Mr. Weber brought up. It says, we believe humanity is in urgent need, and yes, they are, of the gospel message in advance of the events surrounding Christ's return. We believe Jesus commissioned his church to declare what is to come, to warn of the consequences of sin, to preach repentance, and to proclaim the hope of eternal salvation. And that message is going out. And we're all part of that, of helping that message go out through our prayers, through our tithes and offerings, through our involvement in our daily life, as we live God's way and show it in giving praise to our Father. In Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14, Matthew 24, verses 13 and 14, but he who endures to the end, shall be saved. And this gospel of kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. And that timeline is ahead of us. Verse 21 of Matthew 24. For then there will be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor ever shall be. So the therefore point here is, therefore, we, each of us, we take very seriously the church's responsibility to boldly preach the gospel to this world with a zeal and a sense of urgency. That's why we need to review these financials at times to see where the international areas are, to go on the website to see where dollars are being requested for different projects for brethren, to be able to pray for them, pray for those areas, pray for one another. at all times, to go to our Father. Because this is our Father's business. He wants to see our involvement, our activity in His business. Businesses have their rules, their regulations, their standards, their year ends, their payroll staff. All of that out there is business in today's world. But our Father's business is the most important of all to us, because we're talking about becoming a very part of His family, to become a very part of eternity with our Father and elder brother. What better business is there than that? Christ-like love towards one another that we're to be working on and applying in our life. Acts 4, verse 12. Acts 4, verse 12 says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." Our elder brother, God the Father's Son, Jesus Christ, the living head of the church. No other name under heaven. We're to be remembering where, when, in our own lives, and how we personally encountered God's intervening love when God was calling us to this life, to be a part of His family. Because that is one of the surest markers that we are responding to Jesus' invitation of follow me, of wanting to understand that in our life, sharing that with others as part of your history, a part of God's family history, because we are part of that. Matthew 4, verse 19. Matthew 4, verse 19, was Christ was speaking to those He was calling, men He was calling. Says, "Then He said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Fishers of men. And John 21, verse 19. John 21, verse 19. "Then He spoke, signifying by what death He would glorify God. When He had spoken this, He said to them, follow me." Are we growing stronger in that admonition to follow Christ, to hear our Father speaking through His words, and of all Christ has done and our Father has done for us? So let's realize that Jesus' earthly ministry, it wasn't accidental. It wasn't an accident, but rather by design. And His encounters were not random. Have you thought they were? Do you think Christ just stumbled upon these people? No, they weren't random. They were intentional, because it brought glory to His Father of all that He was doing and saying. Because we don't simply worship an accidental Savior. And get that thought out of your head completely. It's not an accident. It's not by happenstance. It's by design. We're sitting here. God has called us. Do you think that's an accident that you're sitting here? No. It's by design, God's design. And Christ did not stumble throughout His life. He was perfect. Just as our Father in heaven is perfect. Just as Christ was when He was age 12. And He told His mom and dad He must be about His Father's business. And then later you see when He was baptized by John the Baptist, age of 30, and then the progression of his life story that he went through. None of that was by accident. It was all by design and intentional to prove a point to us and the world that we'll eventually come to learn the truth. The truth is hidden and veiled from them right now, but eventually, in God's design, God's plan, God's timeline, they will come to see that. In Luke 19, verse 10, says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." Can you remember that when God called you? Did you feel lost? Did you feel a need? Something was missing in your life? God heard our cry. Back then, God hears our cry today, and he will continue to hear our crying out to him. Because God the Father sent his Son, who came willingly as the unblemished lamb, one without defects, perfect, unblemished. 2 Corinthians verse 5, or chapter 5, verse 21. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him." Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God in our life daily. And that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name, looking forward to him, to his Son returning here. In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews 13 verses 12 through 15, it says, "Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." And as the time gets closer, to do this much more fervently. You know, perhaps until now, you too, just like myself, at times we've suffered from what seemed to be a plague of spiritual amnesia regarding God's intervention. But of course, that's us. That's not God. That's our faults. And if so, we are to fall down in devoted praise and gratefulness and worship to our Father, to remove that plaque, either from our mind, our heart, our very body. And it can't be something like a quick head nod, you know, just nod, or a simple thank you. It needs to be deeper, much more, reaching into our very soul, our very heart, the spirit that resides in us, God's Holy Spirit. We need to spend time, more time, speaking to our Father, to display how we value God's initial and ongoing intervention in our life, because that is so important for us. And he's transforming us into a new creation in Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And let's make sure we leave the old things past behind us. Don't try to go back to that life. So by yielding our thoughts, our words, our deeds before the great and loving giver of life, because he wants to give us life eternal, we need to be surrendering all of our outcomes into his hand, place our burdens on them. Because God is able to erase any distance that may be separating us, either from him or others in our life. We need to be drawing even closer to our father and elder brother and to each other. Because God alone gives us a joint future, a close fellowship in his family forever. And one vital way we worship him is acknowledging his grace, his favor, every day by treating every human being who is made in the image of God with dignity and respect. Still working on that one. I keep hearing the word patience. I'm still working on that word too. You know, perhaps it's time to eliminate our own self-conceived ideas and rule regarding those who we feel are outside God's ability to reach. We have to get away from that. We need to heed Christ's invitation to follow me. And by heeding that is to understand that it's not our role to choose who can be part of God's family. It's not. God will eventually give all of mankind their opportunity, which we are having that opportunity now. And we need to continue to improve, to become better, become more loving, and showing outgoing concern. And I'm sure we do realize, but we should realize when God enters our lives, he will always give us a job to perform. He gives us a job. We're to be about our Father's business. Of course, he could do everything by himself, but he wants us to partner with his grace, our responding obedience. And aren't we so grateful that God has called us, he has invited us to share in this life? God is always going to give us a job. It may not just be one job. It could be multiple jobs. Or would you even consider it a job? It's a pleasure. It's a love. It's our life. So have you ever considered asking yourself, when was the last time we went to God and asked, what is my job? Have I missed something? What do you want me to do? Be specific in your questions to our Father. Seek him out. Whether it's little or big in our minds, because again, we have that preconceived idea that, ooh, this is a, you know, as was brought out in the sermonette, talking about ego. This is not an ego trip. It doesn't make any difference whether we consider it a little or big job. It's because we worship the God, our Father, who takes our little and makes it great to serve His purposes. Thus, for us to be serving at all times. And appreciate that our Heavenly Father and Jesus Christ are always, always there and always willing to give audience to a grateful heart. I mean, we're not going to see an out to lunch sign when we go to God. He's always there. He will never leave us or forsake us. So let's be inspired with the process of that's coming from our God, Father, God the Father and Jesus Christ. And look how we show ourselves acceptable, because we're preaching and we're teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ in the kingdom of God in our life. In our words, in our thoughts, in our studies, in our assisting others. And hopefully more so as we progress, so that it convicts and motivates others to repent, to see, to learn that we're different. Our actions show that we're following something greater than the lottery tickets. Something greater than whatever it may be out there that Satan's throwing around to try to take our minds off the purpose of our calling. They would see how to live God's way of life through our examples. And then they would eventually learn about through baptism and laying on of hands as God calls them to become a member of the spiritual body of Christ. That conviction, that love, that acceptance, it must energize us to think back. And even today, we're here on God's Sabbath. Energize us in our dedication to Jesus Christ and the Father. It proves to us that we're being enabled by the two greatest beings in the universe to overcome sin and grow towards us God's soon coming kingdom, and to be a very part of that way of life, to be there to teach, to serve. Because as Christians, we must be more powerfully committed to our spiritual calling, our spiritual duty, to use as an example the Apostle Paul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 16 through 18, says, For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. You could say to yourself, woe is me if I'm not living up to what God has established for us, our standards, His word, His love, His truth. Woe is me. Continuing of Paul, for if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. We have been entrusted as well. We're disciples of Jesus Christ. We are future sons and daughters of God the Father. Paul says, what is my reward then? And he answers that when I preach the gospel, I may present the gospel of Christ without charge, that I may not abuse my authority in the gospel. Nor should we use that again using the term ego. We're not better than anyone else. We're not. We sin. That's why Christ had to die. We have a part in that to accept because of our sins. He died for us. He died for all of mankind. What a love. But we're to be committed to have courage. And we need that so much in today's world. Because which in essence means to keep the true faith and move forward unafraid while boldly proclaiming God's truth. And again, that is how we live our life. We're proclaiming that in our life. We know about Joshua. In Joshua 1, verse 7, Joshua naturally had courage, but it grew stronger as God specifically encouraged him to be very courageous. In Joshua 1, verse 7, these words apply to us in our life. It says, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. And it is so nice to hear that we will prosper in this calling that God has called us to. Because with as much wisdom and power as He may grant to us as members of His church, we seek God's true words to preach and teach the gospel of God's kingdom. And we need to be diligently seeking that. Because we can all be wearied. We can all be intimidated by what's occurring around us and the various bitter circumstances that we see. And these can be complicated by a lack of personal faith, of that humanity side, where we give in to those thoughts. But when we do that, we succumb to that. It weakens us, and we need to be watchful of that. Because without spiritual courage, our conviction weakens. And Satan is on the attack when he sees that, and even before he sees it, he's the one causing it. And we should never, ever be so weak as we would water down God's truth. We have to be faithful. We have to be true. We have to learn and understand God's word. We must take this life that God has given us very seriously. And if we don't, we could find ourselves among those who have fallen away due to lack of spiritual courage and faith. And we don't want to be there. We don't want to go down that road. We want to be on guard to not fall prey to human nature. We want to be filled with God's divine nature, the courage and true faith in Jesus Christ. What did the prophet Isaiah say in Isaiah 6, verse 8? Isaiah 6, verse 8 says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Do we go to God in that boldness, in that loving approach? When you see a need, the terminology, you see a need, fill a need. Do we ask God, here I am? Or do we tell to God, here I am? What will you have me to do? Life is full of these questions. And it's wonderful if we're directing our questions to God the Father and Jesus Christ. You know, conviction and courage describe the inner strength of God's prophets and apostles. And they, along with Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, they should be our true role models. Christ set his mind to boldly proclaim the word of God regardless of the circumstances. We read that throughout God's word. The spring holy days will be here. As I said, time fleets by. In 3 more months, roughly, a little over 3 months, with the Passover and the Days of Unleavened Bread. In Isaiah 50, verse 7, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I will not be ashamed. Again, that gets back to that fervency that we should have to do God's will and God's work and be about his business. And yes, the apostles and prophets all were spiritually tough and faithful. Just as we, disciples of Christ, should be spiritually tough and faithful as well. And some actually gave their lives for the cause of God's kingdom. But we need to remember that we need to add to that the tremendous force of prayers to our father and elder brother. They are so important for the church, for God's leadership, for God's work. Because we must be about our Father's business of proclaiming his soon coming kingdom and true way of life. This principle applies for all Christians to be fearless, to be courageous, to be bold in how we live correctly and how we preach the gospel message through our life's example, as we've mentioned before. Our work must rise to the power of our spiritual forebears to have that conviction of the stand in the gap. Here I am, God. How can you use me? Stand in the gap, courage. This life is a gift that God has given us. And it's God's greatest desire and blessing for us. Because God gave us a life. God created man and woman. God wants a family. And we want most definitely to be a very part of God's family. And the closer we follow God's plan and his laws of life, the better we understand, or should be understanding more and more, the blessings of our physical and our spiritual life in this calling. Because only God can give spiritual life. But for now, he's given us the next best thing, and that is to understand who he is, how he cares for us, and what he wants from us. And we need to understand that as well. Those gifts that come from having and growing a godly family. You know, the Bible explains that in Psalms 90, verse 10. Psalms 90, verse 10. And of course, lately I've been resembling this remark. So the days of our lives are 70 years. And if by reason of strength they are 80 years, yet their boast is only labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Life is precious. Live it to the fullest and live it God's way. But it feels like it's been very brief, this life. I found something the other day. It was my dad's obituary. He died 2 days before he turned 73. Well, I'm going to be 72 this year. So I'll be the same age as my dad was. We've had other members pass away, and you look at their age, and it's within the age range of, you know, that you're dealing with in your own life. And as the patriarch Job said in Job 7, I'll just read it, Job 7, verse 6, says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. Well, yes, it is. That's why it's so important that we buckle down and we hang on and we serve, we live the best spiritual life that we can that God has called us to. Because sometimes we probably all ask ourselves, how much more time do I have? Well, maybe within that same question, we also pose, what are we doing with the time God has given us, the remaining time? Yes, our lives are busy. Even in retirement, our life is busy. And are we really accomplishing what is most important? Are we seeking the Lord while he may be found? In Isaiah 55, verse 6, says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. That's why we should be carrying out our Father's business, just as Christ did when he walked the earth. The Father gave his Son a vital mission, and that mission was to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. You find that in Luke 4, verses 18 and 19. So as Jesus' followers, as disciples of Christ, how are we doing on these various assignments? How close are we to God? How close are we to Christ? How do we serve one another? Is that questions for your daily priorities? Do you go to God morning, noon, and night? Do you ask God even for the smallest little questions in your life? Because unless God is the center of our lives and our focus is on his plan of salvation, if we don't stay focused, it's possible it is impossible for us to develop and mature to the level that God intended. Stop shortchanging ourselves. Stop holding ourselves back. Stop having these preconceived ideas that it's just too hard. Nothing is that hard because we have the support of our Father. The Bible tells us, admonishes us to be steadfast in our Christian walk. In Galatians 6, verse 9. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. And God is willing to help us with our development, because we're still in that development stage. We're not complete yet. We haven't run our race. But we must stay close to God by trusting and obeying with all of our heart, mind, and soul, to put our 100% into it. Because our loving Father is patient with us. We know that He's kind, passionate, loving, and eternal, all-powerful. So keep asking yourself questions. Is this my life pleasing to God? Well, if your life is not pleasing to yourself, more than likely it's not going to be pleasing to God, because we're lacking. So we need to do something to bring it back in line. Question, have I let down in following the perfect example of my Lord and Savior? A lot of work's left to be done. I'm speaking for myself here. Another question I keep hearing a lot of is, would God count me worthy to escape the coming great tribulation? It's coming, but we can't worry about that. We need to study. We need to improve. We need to draw closer. We need to overcome. Continue to evaluate our life. Continue drawing closer to God Almighty. To be strengthened and to run with endurance the race that's been set before us. So what do our daily decisions tell God? What do they say about us? How much do we include God in our daily decisions? Each of us sitting here has been invited to get ready for our future. So are we willing? Are we able to identify those areas in our life that are not in line with God's way? We are so extremely blessed to be invited by our Father to prepare for now for His kingdom. Whether we recognize it or not, and we know, and we've said it before, that time is rapidly approaching. Each and every day, we have that opportunity to show our great God how much we appreciate this precious calling. But as children of God, again, buckle down, run that spiritual race with greater humility and commitment. Definitely knowing that the promises of God will be perfectly fulfilled. Because God doesn't lie. He cannot lie. It's there in His Word for us to see and to grasp a hold of. Because the resurrection that we've been invited to take part in is going to be better than the other resurrections. In Titus 1, verse 2, it assures us, and states, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. We're all appointed a time to die. You live, you die. You're born, you die. But the elect, God's elect, has a promise from God of being raised as a spirit being. This alone should encourage us all the more to prepare for the kingdom of God as never before. That truth is there. We know it's there. How much of that is a driving force for us in our life? In John 10, verse 28, Christ shares his plan with us. He shares all things with us if we just accept that. We read in John 10, verse 28, "And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand." Well, our life now as a child of God should be focused on preparing for the promises that are coming and the promises that are there now for us to take part in. And our continual focus should be on whether we're responding properly to the invitation to be a child of God. So just some additional questions to think upon as we wrap up here. It says, all too often we try to accomplish tasks on our own, even though our loving Father is willing to dwell in us and strengthen us to accomplish His will. We need to go to Him more and more and more, because we must ask ourselves, do I have a clear vision of what God has offered me? We need to be there, not only for ourselves, but for God and Jesus Christ, and for each of you sitting here, and our brothers and sisters that are being called around this world. Have I allowed anything to distract me from my purpose in life? Whether it's this or what other parts of our life, is that a huge distraction? But am I willing to make the necessary changes so that I can be counted worthy to join the family of God? To be accounted worthy. So these are all life-defining questions that need to not only be answered, but acted upon. And each of us have to consider that in our own life. Because this is our life. What a wonderful life we've been called to be a part of. So therefore, let's be committed to be about our Father's business. Enjoy the rest of your Sabbath.